Good evening. Welcome to Visit with a Senior Citizen. Those of you who have been regular listeners of this program since last fall will remember that the first guest on this program was Dr. Arthur Morgan. Tonight, as the last program in the series, we have come full circle, and Mrs. William Price will once again conduct an interview with Dr. Arthur Morgan. Mrs. Price?
Thank you. Good evening, Arthur Morgan.
Good evening.
How are you tonight?
Fair.
Well, that's good, I hope. It was a nice spring day today, wasn't it?
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. But,
Very nice to work in my garden today.
Well, that's good. Did you do weeding, or?
I was planting.
Oh. What were you planting?
I was planting lettuce and beans and broccoli and such.
Oh, my. Well, that, does Lucy Morgan freeze that?
When it's mature?
Oh, you just eat it. Well, I just wondered if she froze it so you could eat it next winter. But you like it fresh from the garden, don't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you plant corn?
No.
No?
Don't have room for it.
Well, and everybody doesn't like corn anyway, so. But it would be nice to talk about some other things tonight. Are you going to tell us about senior citizens in the program of Yellow Springs, or were you going to make it a national
mostly about the senior citizens program in Yellow Springs?
Well, that would be fine.
How it fits into our Yellow Springs general picture.
Well, that would be very good. Why don't you...
Why don't I do it?
Yes!
All right, why not? Well, today, all over the United States, there is a sudden development of interest in older people. Yellow Springs appears to be just following that vogue. Following the crowd is not a very creative process. A large part of the creative work of the world is done by men and women who, in pursuing their clear purposes, had to move against the prevailing current. However, intelligent people will take advantage of favorable circumstances. If my plans call for a trip to town, and if most people go to market on Tuesday, then if I go on Tuesday, I shall be more apt to get a ride. So it is with an old age program for Yellow Springs. By moving into that program now, when the whole country, including the government, is thinking about it, we may get help which would have been wholly unavailable even 10 years ago. Yet our old people's program is not just a following of what everyone else is doing today. It is an integral and necessary element in a long-held, conscious purpose and design for our village, a purpose that has been growing definitely and steadily through the years. To help us to see how that is the case, let us look at the development and partial achievement of our village design during the past 40 years, which is the period about which I am informed. Many communities grow like topsy in the cornfield without plan or foresight. For the greatest achievement in any field, it is important to have an overall understanding of what we're trying to do. I do not like to live in a town with a finished plan. I have lived in such towns now and then. A live town will constantly grow and change because live people live in it. What we need are overall principles of growth. Then we can constantly meet changing conditions and yet have growth and not chaos. In planning and in carrying out plans for a good community, it is well to recognize any values which we inherit from the past. Several years ago, the people of the community united to clean up the grounds around the Mills House, where our elementary school is located. There were some little patches of shrubs, some of them probably the only ones of their kind in our village and perhaps in the state, with patches of some of our native wood flowers. I urged that these be kept. The response was that while the bulldozer was at work, it was easier to tear out everything, and that the ground could easily be replanted. I think that we unnecessarily lost a bit of value in that process. If something we have is of marked value, we should see it and prize it, and not throw it away because we have a plan. In the planning of the new Antioch program during the years 1919 and 1921, before we started the new program, the college was fortunate in being located in a friendly, neighborly village. There has been effort to keep that quality, and it is one of our most precious possessions. Yellow Springs is a friendly community. Another fortunate inheritance is that of social tolerance, doubtless partly as a result of the attitude of Horace Mann and some of his associates in making Antioch a place of freedom. Yellow Springs has been a community in which persons of unusual types can live without embarrassment. That, again, is a century-old trait for which we are thankful. I wish I had time to give incidents of some of the very markedly unstandard personalities which have lived in this town. When Moncure Conway brought his father's slaves to Yellow Springs and helped them to secure homes, he performed a service of goodwill and helped to establish relations of mutual respect and of human dignity, which has left its mark on the village. Ever since that time, the relations of the races have been better here than in many communities. 40 years ago, when there were race riots in the cities on both sides of us and only 10 miles away, relations of mutual respect continued in our community. Yellow Springs has been fortunate in its background in several respects. Yet, as in most communities in America and over the world, there are some respects in which our community fell short of what it might be. Here, as in many communities, half a century ago, there was lacking a conscious and clear picture of what qualities a good community should have and of how to achieve those qualities. Repeatedly, it happens in human affairs that more than one end can be achieved in a given effort. As the old saying goes, we can kill two birds with one stone. Sometimes it is even possible to go further than that, and to achieve in a social way what Baron Munchausen claims to have done in hunting ducks. After loading his old-fashioned rifle, he left the ramrod in the gun. Then when four ducks were in line in the air, he shot, and the ducks came down, neatly strung to his ramrod. And so we have got more than even two birds with one stone. In association with rebuilding Antioch College, it was possible for the group of people who undertook that work, together with the people of the village, to accomplish several worthwhile purposes. One of these was the regeneration of the college. Another was to discover the essential qualities of a good community and to stimulate the realization of those qualities in our own home setting. A third interest, which was brought to Yellow Springs after it had been mulled over for 20 years, was an undertaking to throw light on the processes by which human personalities develop. That interest developed into the Fells Institute. Each of these undertakings helped the other to succeed. In 1920, while work was underway for the new Antioch, we were told that it would not be possible to build a significant institution here because worthwhile teachers would not be satisfied to live in such a town. The village of 1,400 people had no water supply and no sewer system. There probably were not 6 bathtubs in town. There were only 2 streets in the village on which one could travel in wet weather without being in danger of being stuck in the mud. It is clear that a good community should have a suitable physical basis for its life. It didn't take very much information or foresight to see that. One of the first steps was to secure a public water supply and sewer system. The progress has been slow, but the development has approximately caught up with our pressing needs. Very early, we took a step which many communities take very late, or not at all. One of the vital necessities for a good community is for out-of-door country, especially place for children to play. We were fortunate in having a beautiful wooded area close by, but it was about to be destroyed. The securing of the glen for our community was a difficult but necessary step. This was not just an isolated undertaking. The move was the more possible because there was coming into existence a fairly clear overall picture of what conditions and qualities are necessary or desirable for a good community. Securing the glen was one step toward realizing that picture. From the standpoint of economic opportunity, Yellow Springs was what was called a dead town half a century ago. It was occupied largely by retired farmers whose days of active work were past. Unless one's father owned a store or a farm, there was not very much prospect for young people to make a living, unless they had some originality and imagination, as was the case with DeWine and Hama in building up a seed business. A good town must have ways for young people to make their livings, or the live ones will leave. A broad and varied economic base is very important to a good community. The providing of such a base was deliberately undertaken. As the idea got abroad that it was possible, various people participated. Of the dozen or more little industries of our community, which have a sales volume of between $10 million and $15 million a year, about two-thirds were started by the college or had their beginnings in some way related to the college. But their development was helped by the existence of a mental picture of a good community and of what elements are necessary to bring it about. There are several hundred American small towns with colleges where nothing of the kind has happened, because there was no clear picture of what was desirable and possible. It is necessary that there be developed a vision of what is desirable and what might be. It is not unimportant that Yellow Springs did not try to subsidize industries to come in from outside, but grew our own. That has helped us to keep the spirit of the community unspoiled. I hope we will continue that policy. For a good community, good government is necessary. Too often in America, local government is the property of a county or state political machine, with local interests subordinate. There was a time when Yellow Springs government had some of these faults. Our village politics were largely dominated by the county political machine. During the mid-1920s, Dean Philip Nash of Antioch served a term as mayor and did a good job. He told me that the petty graft which customarily came to the mayor amounted in total to one of the largest personal incomes in the village. The largest single item probably was from the numbers racket, which had its regional headquarters in Yellow Springs, and which took from our working people probably more money than any two or three merchants of the day. With county and local political control operating, it was difficult for local needs to get expression in our local government. This local government situation gradually cleared up through the years. A last and important step was taken in the adoption of council-manager government. The effect of our own progress has gone beyond the village limits. The county sheriff's office was, we have understood, the center for protection of illegal operations. It is even reported that after offenders had been brought to trial and convicted, and then turned over to the sheriff for imprisonment, sometimes they were turned loose between the courthouse and the jail. Finally, our own excellent chief of police, Mr. Bradley, was elected county sheriff, and a new spirit of public administration and responsibility entered into the sheriff's office. Today, Yellow Springs has a local government which probably is excelled by few in the state or in the country. A good community needs good schools. They are part of the picture. Through the years, the people of Yellow Springs have improved their school board and their school system until it, too, is one of the better ones in the state. Let us hope that we may remain an independent school district able to pioneer in education. Another element in the planning of a good community is physical health. There again, there has been a growth of awareness of the need. Yellow Springs was not always fortunate in this respect. Sanitary conditions were poor. The fly population was very large. A form of dysentery was so endemic that it was called the Yellow Springs disease. Our village government has worked intelligently and faithfully, and today health conditions here are good. One of the common shortcomings of small communities here and all over the world has been the lack of a spirit of inquiry and research. Small towns sometimes seem to expect things to stay about as they are. One definite element in the growing picture of what a good community would be like is that it should have a spirit of curiosity, of inquiry, of research. The development of research in our community was not an accident, but was deliberately fostered as a necessary part of a good community. Today, there are about 100 full-time research people in the institutions of our community. Such a resource is not assured by the presence of a college. There are hundreds of small college towns in America where that spirit is scarcely, if at all, in evidence. A clear picture of what is wanted is no small part of the cause of what comes to pass. Of course, a picture of what makes a good community did not come ready formed like a chicken when it hatches from an egg. It has been a gradual growth, and it is still growing. A good community needs a forum for the people and a way to transform the spirit of church or club or special organization into the spirit and work of the community. This is brought to pass to a considerable extent by the Yellow Springs Community Council, which has delegates from each community civic organization, and with many activities in the interests of the community, including the community chest. The community council helps to unify between 10 and 20 community civic interests. In a good community, it is important to have someone who is sensitive to the needs of people in trouble. Under Mrs. Sarah Adams, Yellow Springs has such an institution. Now, what has all this to do with old people? In developing a picture of what enters into the making of a good community, it is important to assure that no significant element of good community life is overlooked. The habit of getting older is fairly common. Even you and I may find ourselves doing it if we don't watch out. In modern life, the conditions of age have changed. It no longer is convenient for grandma to sit by the fireplace in the home of her children and grandchildren. And moreover, she does not want to sit there. There is no longer a circle of chairs by the pot-bellied stove in the back of the store where grandpa can pass the time with his friends. And again, old people living alone need help and friendship, such as used to be available in the neighborhoods. A good community needs thought and planning by and for its older people. The Senior Citizens Organization of Yellow Springs is trying to bring about such forethought and consideration. That consideration is not wholly lacking. Of the people living alone, we find that without any definite arrangements, 90% of them are visited daily by friends or neighbors or relatives. This senior citizens organization is not just a process of doing what everybody else is doing. It was born in an effort not to leave out any vital element of a good community. Yellow Springs should be a good town to grow old in. The old people of Yellow Springs are exceptionally self-reliant, so much so, in fact, that only a limited part have time and leisure to give to senior citizens' activities. Yet the time comes when they must be less active. The senior citizens program would appreciate the cooperation of more people of all ages. Some persons would like visitors. Apartments particularly suitable for old people would be appreciated. Transportation for shopping and for meetings would be welcome. The senior citizens have a telephone at their center, or Mrs. William Price, P-R-E-I-S, can make arrangements. I have tried to describe the growth through the years of an increasingly clear and full picture of the needs and possibilities of a good community, and of efforts to realize such a picture in the life of the community. Yet I have spoken mostly of things to be done. More important than things we should do are the things we should be. The greatest needs of a community are goodwill, friendliness, neighborliness, and aspiration. Without such qualities, nothing counts for very much in the end. I recall reading a magazine article more than 60 years ago, which made such an impression on me that it influenced my picture of what is a good community. This article, by a man named Runciman, if my memory of 60 years ago is correct, was entitled Quiet Old Towns. It described a seemingly fine English community of stately houses with great spreading trees shading the streets, apparently a picture of utopia. Then, with his intimate acquaintance with the village, the author took us behind the scenes. He drew a picture of cliques and cabals, of jealousy and gossip and near slander, and of petty intriguing and competition persisting from generation to generation. I have another picture of the year 1941, of Okies, migrant laborers, near some great irrigated farms in Arizona. These families, which had been tenants on Oklahoma farms, had been displaced by modern farm machinery, and after trekking in poverty across the country, were gathered in a temporary town while they chopped cotton. The ancient Model T Fords in which the families traveled were gathered about. I was struck by the friendliness and fellowship of these people. They were sharing common misfortune. They were sharing their resources and their problems. There was an attitude of mutual confidence and of simple human dignity. Yellow Springs is coming to have many very comfortable houses, with plantings which in a few years will make shaded streets. Yet we have a community of general goodwill and mutual confidence. Part of that is a product of working together to build a good community. It is important to have good health conditions, good schools, and good government, a good swimming pool, a beautiful glen, good water and sewerage, especially when these are the results of mutual goodwill and friendly cooperation. But fruits come and go, and repeated new crops are necessary. If the roots of mutual goodwill and confidence remain strong, then the fruits will come, even if the crop should sometimes be short because of economic hailstorms or dry weather. As to what I have said, please consider the circumstances. This is an old people's program, with a talk by one of the oldest of them. Is it surprising, then, to have listened to something like the moralizing of a doddering old Polonius to his son Laertes? This is the last broadcast on April 27, 1961, of the year for the senior citizens. As chairman of the Senior Citizens Committee, I should like to take this occasion to thank Mrs. Elner Price, both for acting as hostess for the series and for her untiring and well-directed efforts in guiding the Senior Citizens program through the year. It is largely that work which has given it continuity and success. Thank you.
Thank you, Arthur Morgan, for a very inspiring visit with you. Yellow Springs really is all you say it is, and I think we'll stop right there. It's been a pleasure to have had you on the program and to have had this series on the WYSO. And I'd like to say good night, and a special good night to you, Arthur Morgan of Yellow Springs, Ohio.
I would also like to thank you. WYSO has received some very nice comments about this program. It's been educational for us, and it has also been well liked, and those aren't two attributes that you usually find together. But we would like to thank you publicly now for your efforts for producing this program. And you too, Dr. Morgan. Dr. Morgan will be heard next on WYSO this coming Wednesday at 9, when the topic of his talk will be Learning Citizenship at Antioch College. That's Wednesday at 9. Until then, good evening. From Antioch College in Yellow Springs, Ohio, this is